Now in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, we read, "By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons, or blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones." So what does the writer of Hebrews want us to learn about the faith of these three men? I think the writer of Hebrews uses their confidence in facing death to encourage us in our own faith. As we start a new year, I can't imagine a better topic to consider than to walk in faith, to walk by faith, even if we have to face death in the coming year. To walk by faith with such confidence that even death cannot shake our resolve. Maybe that needs to be your New Year's resolution. I resolve to grow in my faith so that I will be more confident in my daily walk, even if I have to face death. I think it's a far better resolution than keeping the house clean or paying your bills on time. It certainly would be better than the most common one of starting an exercise program so you can lose those holiday pounds that you gained. Some of us can identify possibly with the humorous poem about this lady. "'Twas a month after Christmas, and all through the house, nothing would fit me, not even a blouse. The cookies I nibbled, the fudge I did taste, all the holiday parties had gone to my waist. When I got on the scales, there arose such a number. When I walked to the store, less a walk than a lumber. I remember the marvelous meals I'd prepared, the gravies, the sauces, and beef nicely rare. The pies and the cakes and the bread and the cheese, and the way I never said, 'No, thank you, please.' As I dressed myself in my husband's old shirt and prepared once again to do battle with dirt, I said to myself, as only I can, 'You can't spend the winter disguised as a man.' So away with the last of the sour cream dip, get rid of the fruitcake, every cracker and chip. I won't have hot biscuits or cornbread or pie. I'll munch on a carrot and quietly cry. Unable to giggle, no longer a riot. Happy New Year to all, and to all a good diet." Now, I've never been real big on New Year's resolutions, but one of the most popular ones is concerning our own weight. But what greater resolution would it be than to commit ourselves that we are going to walk by faith, not by sight? We're going to walk by faith, passing on our faith to a future generation. That we're going to walk by faith, even if we face death. There's three resolutions that we see, I think, through the lives of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And in a sense, when God came to Abraham, he made a resolution. He made a covenant promise. He resolved to enter into this covenant with Abraham and said that it would also include the generations that were to come from Abraham, that he would also include the generations after him through Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and onward. Abraham believed God's promise. He trusted in God that his descendants would be as great as the stars in the sky. The three men in our passage, direct descendants of Abraham, also walked by faith, trusting in God's covenant promise. They were far from perfect, but they had a resolve that is certainly worthy of our imitation. And so I give you three resolutions this morning. One, I resolve to walk by faith concerning things I cannot see. Concerning things I cannot see. The confidence of these three men in God's promises was not based on physical blessings or earthly physical realities, but in spiritual realities. It was not rooted in the things of this world, though they certainly received many blessings in this world. Their confidence was based upon things in heaven. And let's go back a couple of verses from where we started. We saw last week. And look at verse 9. By faith, Abraham went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. These three men certainly had different life experiences, some good, some definitely not so good. All three men made a mess of their life at some point, but they continued to trust in God for spiritual blessings while they lived as refugees in that land. They all died without receiving the blessing of the land that God had promised. They lived in tents, but they lived by faith in what they could not see. They were confident that God would fulfill His promise, so they could walk by faith concerning things that they could not see. I think there's a tremendous lesson for us in this resolve. For many of us, our confidence, our peace, is based upon strength that is based upon our ability to see and to be in control of what we can see. If we sense that we're no longer in control of our surroundings, if we cannot see what's going possibly to happen, then we fret and we whine. But look, there are things that God is doing that we cannot see, but He promises us that He will do. There are many things that He promises that we cannot see, but we can be assured that He will fulfill them. None of us are able to see what heaven is like now, to see what life is going to be like now in heaven. I hope I never forget sitting in the living room of my aunt when my grandmother passed away and hearing my grandfather ask my dad, "Bob, tell me again what heaven's going to be like." He couldn't see it, but he needed the reassurance and that peace again that his wife was there. "Tell me again what the Bible says heaven is like." We have to walk by faith in things we cannot see. And we can do so because we have a God who is faithful to keep His covenant promises. Abraham taught Isaac. Isaac taught Jacob. Jacob taught Joseph that the land that God had promised is going to be wonderful, but ultimately that's not the great reward. There is a city, a heavenly city, that God is preparing for us. There are things that God has promised that we cannot see, but He will be faithful. May we have the same faith to be diligently to live the same way. May we have such confidence in God's promises that we will walk by faith even if we can't see it yet. Second resolve, I resolve to walk by faith concerning the future of my family. There are many tremendous stories about these men throughout Genesis 21 to chapter 50 that demonstrate their faith in God's promises. But the writer of Hebrews especially wants us to see how they blessed their children and taught them the promises of God. For example, just as his father Abraham had to wait on God's timing to provide their son because they were barren, so also Isaac and Rebekah had no children. But they had the promise of God. God told them that He heard their prayers and that they would have sons. They would have twins. God told Rebekah that the younger would serve, or that the older would serve the younger. God said that the covenant promises to Abraham that were repeated to Isaac would be fulfilled through Jacob and not Esau. That was completely out of order. The natural order of things as they understood it, completely out of order. The firstborn was to be the recipient of the greater inheritance. Esau would be the one. In Isaac's mind, Esau was the favorite. Genesis 27 tells us that Isaac favored Esau. But God had declared before they were born that the promise would carry on through Jacob. So in Genesis 27, we're told that when Isaac's time on this earth was drawing to a close, he told Esau to go hunting and prepare for him some delicious meal so that he could bless Esau before Isaac died. However, Rebekah overheard Isaac, and she prepared Isaac's favorite meal. She dressed Jacob up in Esau's clothing, gave him a disguise because Isaac by this time was very old and blind, and she fooled him. And Isaac blessed Jacob instead of Esau. And when Esau returned and discovered the scheme, he was furious. And he begged his dad. Even though Esau had already sold his birthright to Jacob, Esau was furious at what Jacob and his mother had done. He begged Isaac to change the blessing, but Isaac refused. Isaac did bless Esau, but Jacob was the one that received the covenant blessing from God. Just as God predicted, Esau would serve Jacob. Now in Romans 9, we're given a glimpse into God's sovereign plan, and we are told in Romans 9 that God loved Jacob and hated Esau before the two boys were even born. Before they had the opportunity to do anything good or bad, but that God's purpose and election might stand, God said, I love Jacob and I hate Esau. Again, that is hard for us to embrace, to understand, but it just simply states it as bluntly as that. God is God. God determined from eternity past that Christ would come and be our deliverer, that He is the Messiah. God determined from eternity past the line in which the Savior would be born, and it was to come through Jacob, not Esau. God made that determination before they could do anything on their own. God chose Jacob and not Esau to fulfill His eternal plan. Now, there are a couple lessons for us to learn from this as well. First, God is not pleased with lies and deceit. We can't look at what Rebekah did and justify lying and deceiving in order to get what we want. God is not pleased with lies and deceit, but He will use even the wicked schemes of man to accomplish His glory. He would not allow the favoritism of Isaac to alter His eternal plan. Also, obviously, we can be confident that God is going to accomplish His plan. That man cannot in any way thwart or alter or remove God's plan. God will send Christ to come back when God is ready for Christ to come back. We cannot change God's plan. God is sovereign. He will finish what He says He has started. We can have confidence in that. Another lesson that we need to see is how these men taught their family concerning the promises of God. Abraham taught Isaac, and God confirmed His promise, His covenant promise to Isaac. And Isaac taught Jacob, and Jacob taught his son Joseph and the other 12 sons. But also notice that none of these men saw the promises fulfilled. And yet they were confident that God would be faithful to their generations. And they passed that confidence on to their children. This is why they took the passing on of God's blessing so seriously, or at least it's one of the reasons why. Isaac would not remove Jacob's blessing. He died believing that God's plan would play out through Jacob and Jacob's descendants, ultimately leading to his own salvation and the coming of the Messiah. We can especially see this confidence in the faith of Joseph. The very fact that Joseph brings up the story of Moses. Now again, you got to kind of plug in your memory on the history of Israelites. Moses didn't exist yet. Jacob's name becomes Israel. He is Israel. Joseph and his 12 brothers become the tribes of Israel that had become exiled or become enslaved in Egypt hundreds of years before Moses existed. And yet Joseph is confident and he knows what God is going to do. And he refers to a coming exodus out of Egypt because he trusts in God's promise. God promised them that they would be given a land. And Joseph, though it was hundreds of years still to come, died with that confidence. In fact, this is why he gives instructions about his bones. They were confident that God would provide them a home, even in death. And that leads us to the last resolution. And this whole idea of Joseph's bones. Third, I resolved to walk by faith concerning my life after death. Joseph was so confident that God would reveal or would fulfill his promises that he gives these instructions regarding his bones after death. It refers back to Genesis chapter 50. In verse 24, we read, "And Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.' Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here.'" That's Egypt. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And then hundreds of years later, some say 400, some say a little over 200, but hundreds of years later, Moses had Joseph's bones carried out of Egypt when he led the children of Israel. And then when Joshua took over after Moses, it says in the end of the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 32, it says, "As for the bones of Joseph, which the people of Israel brought up out of Egypt, they buried them in Shechem, in the piece of land that Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. It became an inheritance of the descendants of Joseph." Now, even though it may seem odd to us that a dying man would give instructions about preserving his corpse, it should also show us the depth of his faith in God's promises. God assured Abraham, "My great-grandfather, that my descendants would have this a land. I am dying, but God's promises will be fulfilled. Take my bones to that land. Swear to me that you will do so." He was so confident in God's promises that even though his brothers had mistreated him so badly, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God will fulfill his promise." Joseph was absolutely certain. But even more importantly, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph were all confident that God would give them an eternal reward. They were looking toward the city of God, the heavenly reward, through faith in the Messiah. They could face death with confidence because their faith was firmly fixed on the Word of God, on the promises of God as He revealed them. They received God's revelation by faith. They trusted in God's plan. And they were joined, as they understood it, to His grand redemption of His people. From Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and onward through the centuries, they saw that by the grace of God, they were part of His eternal plan. And they were linked together and would one day enjoy the blessings of God's, of their eternal inheritance. May we show the same confidence in God's faithfulness as they showed. We can walk by faith concerning the things we cannot see because God is faithful. We can walk by faith concerning the future of our family because God is faithful. We can walk by faith concerning our eternal life, even if we have to face death this year, because God is faithful. He will keep His promise to you. You are His child, bought by the blood of His own Son. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you because He is faithful. Let us pray. And as we pray, I ask the officers to come forward for the Lord's Supper. Our Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank You that You are faithful, that through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, we see men that certainly messed up their life in many different ways, certainly failed to trust You at times, but ultimately they walked by faith. They were confident of Your promise. It enabled them to continue to trust You regarding things that they could not see but knew that You would do. That even though the number was very small, only these four men and then the brothers of Joseph, yet they knew that they would be a nation because You're faithful. They even could face death with confidence because they weren't looking only for a physical land, but they were looking forward to being with You through the Messiah. Oh Lord, grant us the same faith, that we don't have to insist on being able to see everything and be in control of everything, that we can our children well and be confident that You will continue to work in our family, that we can even face the harshness of death because we know that we will be with You. And Father, we have all this confidence because of Your Son and His conquering the cross, that because He is alive, we know that we will rise too. Grant us the strength to live by faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.